Welcome to Magic Software Enterprises 2020 second quarter financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. With us on the line today are Magic CEO, Mr. Guy Bernstein, Magic CFO, Mr. Asaf Bernstein, and Magic VP of Technology and Innovation, Mr. Yuval Avi. Magic quarterly earnings release was issued before the market opened this morning, and it has been posted on the company's website at www.magicsoftware.com. Before we start, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements. The safe harbor provision provided in the press release issued today also applies to the content of this call. Magic expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise any of these forward-looking statements, whether because of future events, new information, a change in its views or expectations, or otherwise. Also, during the course of today's call, management will refer to non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation schedule showing GAAP versus non-GAAP results has been provided in the press release issued before the market opened this morning. A replay of this call will be available after the call on our investor relations section of the company website. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Asaf Bernstein, CFO of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Yoni, and thank you everyone for joining us today as we report our second quarter 2020 financial results. Our second quarter results demonstrate our ability to deliver our software solutions and services to our existing customers and closing new deals alongside our continued solid execution of our priorities of top-line growth despite the continued global impact of the COVID-19 business disruption. Revenues grew by 12% year-over-year to $86.5 million in the quarter, with sales mainly coming from expansions of our business in North America and in Israel. Overall, COVID-19 had only small impact over our first and second quarter results as we prioritized performance while adjusting our approach to operations. We continue to work closely with our large customer base, supporting them in their transition to the new working formats and addressing the challenges they face. As markets continue to adapt to the new normal, we see that the current business disruption related to the pandemic increased the sense of urgency for enterprises to migrate their legacy platforms to enhance their competitive advantage by offering more digital solutions while improving their operations efficiency. This alone is driving future opportunities for Magic Software as our business is benefiting from these global trends that are driving our growth. This includes, most and foremost, the demand for a wide range of top technologies, methodologies, and services for the SMB digital transformation demand for services as organizations continue to migrate from legacy systems to modern, flexible, on-premise, or cloud-based solutions, as well as the need for meeting customers' expectations for digital and more personalized experience. Today, most of our deliverables to our existing customers continue as planned, and we did not see a significant impact on our revenue streams from existing customers, although some prospects are taking longer to close as enterprises put new agreements on hold until there is less uncertainty from COVID-19. From Magic's point of view, our direct customer relations, as well as our trusted advisor approach, have been a beneficial aspect of our business model, especially in this challenging business environment, as we help customers address their new and unique challenges to COVID-19. In return, this helps us secure our repeating revenues while increasing sales with our existing customer base, delivering additional services to enable our customer growth and success. Our priority remains executing on our growth strategy. For the remainder of 2020, I'm pleased to say that deliverables to our existing customers remain on track. We will continue to grow where we have already landed and leverage our investment. We continue to see the growth in sales to our existing customers, which proves the viability of our position as a one-stop shop for the SMB market with enhanced products and services. While there continues to be near-term uncertainty for COVID-19, we remain focused on execution. Our teams are more focused on developing remote client relations and digital marketing tools to address the restricted travel and lack of face-to-face events. We have accelerated the online engagement model and been very active with webinars and remote user groups to replace the face-to-face sessions. Overall, we see that the action we have taken provided us the necessary flexibility and operating efficiency within the current circumstances. Solid demand for our offerings with high repeating revenue and a solid balance sheet position us for success in the challenging environment. We continue to seek business growth organically and with M&A, while we seek further opportunities to increase operating efficiencies and improve margins. We are confident that as the global economy recovers, Magic Software will emerge stronger and well-positioned for continued growth. Turning now to our second quarter business performance, I will now review our non-GAAP results, followed by comments on the balance sheet, cash flow, and end with our outlook for the remaining of 2020. Revenue in the second quarter of 2020 increased by 12% to $86.5 million compared to $77.1 million in the second quarter of 2019. Since the second half of 2019, we have experienced continued decline in our revenue in the telecom industry. As a result, our second quarter results reflect a year-over-year decrease of $6.6 million in our revenues and a decrease of $1.7 million in our operating income. Excluding the decline in the telecom industry, our revenue grew by 24% year-over-year, 17% with respect to the acquisition of NetFX, which was concluded on July 1st, 2019, and 7% organic growth. Looking at the geographical breakdown of our revenues during the second quarter, North America accounted for 49% of total revenues, Israel 38%, Europe 8%, and APAC and the rest of the world accounted for 5% of our second quarter revenue. Most of our growth in absolute number was traditionally from North America and Israel, which continue to be our strongest territories. North America accounted for 51% of our growth in the second quarter, and Israel accounted for 46%. Turning now to profitability, our non-GAAP gross profit for the second quarter of 2020 was $26.5 million, up approximately 2%, compared to $25.9 million in the second quarter of last year. The breakdown of our revenue mix for the six-month period of 2020 was approximately 22% related to our software solutions and 78% related to our professional services, compared to 26% related to our software and 74% related to our professional services in 2019 as a whole. The breakdown of our gross profit mix for the six-month period of 2020 was approximately 46% related to software solutions and 54% related to our professional services, compared to 50% related to our software and 50% related to our professional services in 2019 as a whole. R&D expenses on a non-GAAP basis in the second quarter of 2020 totaled $2.8 million compared to $3.2 million in the same quarter of last year and $3 million in the previous quarter. The decrease in our R&D expenses related mainly to shift of development resources from Israel to India and cost-cutting measurements taken with respect to the COVID-19 business disruption. SG&A expenses on a non-GAAP basis in the second quarter of 2020 totaled $11.4 million compared to $11.4 million in the same quarter of last year and $12.3 million in the previous quarter. The decrease in our SG&A expenses versus the first quarter of 2020 is attributable to cost-cutting measurements taken with respect to the COVID-19 business disruption. Our non-GAAP operating income for the second quarter of 2020 increased 14% to $12.2 million compared to $10.7 million in the same period last year. This reflects an operating margin of 14.1% for this quarter compared to 13.9% in the second quarter of 2019 and 12.9% in the first quarter of 2020. Excluding the decline in the telecom industry amounting to $1.7 million versus second quarter of 2019, our operating income grew by 31% year over year, 50% mainly with respect to the acquisition of NetFX, which was concluded on July 1st, 2019, and 50% organically. Our non-GAAP tax expenses this quarter totaled $2.3 million compared to a tax expense of $2 million in the second quarter of 2019. Our effective tax rate for the six-month period of 2020 was 20% compared to 19% recorded in 2019 as a whole. We expect our effective tax rate in 2020 to be in the range of 20 to 21%. Our non-GAAP net income for the second quarter increased 14% to $8.1 million or 17 cents per fully diluted share, compared to $7.1 million or 14 cents per fully diluted share in the same period last year. Excluding the impact of devaluation of the U.S. dollar versus the new Israeli shekel during the second quarter of 2020, our net income would have increased 25% year over year to $8.9 million or 18 cents per fully diluted share. Turning now to the balance sheet, as of June 30, 2020, cash and cash equivalent, short and long-term bank deposit and marketable securities amounted to approximately $92 million, compared to $89 million in the previous quarter. Our total financial debt as of June 30, 2020 amounted to $25.3 million, compared to $20 million in the previous quarter. From a cash flow perspective, we generated $15 million from operating activities in the second quarter, which were offset mostly by $3.9 million related to dividend distribution to shareholders with respect to the second half of 2019, $4.4 million related to dividend distribution to non-controlling interests, and $4.3 million related to M&A activities, mainly towards the acquisition of non-controlling interests. In our press release issued today, we announced that Magic Software Enterprise Board of Directors has declared a semi-annual cash dividend in the amount of 17.5 cents per share and in the aggregate amount of approximately $8.6 million for the first half of 2020, reflecting approximately 75% of our net income and 30% of our cash flow from operating activities for the first half of 2020, and in accordance with our dividend policy. In closing, I would like to turn now to our guidance for 2020. The global economy experienced significant disruption from COVID-19, and we have managed the pandemic's effect for both our employees and our customers worldwide. That said, our business model has shown its resilience in this challenging environment. From an operational perspective, we are a software company, which fortunately allowed us to remotely work from home or from client site. As a result, we have very high visibility of our revenue stream from existing customers. This factor gives us confidence for the remainder of the year, and we are reiterating our 2020 full-year revenue guidance, which we expect to be in the range of $350 million to $360 million on a constant currency basis, reflecting an annual growth rate of 7 to 11% year over year. With that, I will now turn the call over to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple. First, you mentioned the strong demand you're seeing driving by COVID-19 pushing companies to turn into more digital and throughout the transformation projects. So with that in mind, I'm wondering why you're reiterating guidance and not being a bit more constructive. Is that because you are being conservative in this environment, or because perhaps the projects will take, you know, more time to kind of develop and turn into additional revenue?
Hi, Tavi. Yes, definitely we are being more conservative because of this all unknown situation. We see a lot of things going on. At the same time, we do see companies that are, especially the young companies that are struggling to raise money. And therefore, we want to be in a position that if we surprise, we surprise for the good and not for the bad.
Okay, that's helpful. And then you guys talked about the telecom market in your prepared remarks. Can you elaborate on what's going on there and what are your expectations for the second half?
In 2019, I can tell you that we experienced a very good start for the year. In conjunction with the merger between Sprint and T-Mobile, I think that most of the carriers pretty much put on side their strong investment on the 5G generation. And with that, we also experience, you know, a decline of our work, of our support that we provide to such companies. This is something that, following the approval of the merger in 2020, started to release, but it happened starting, I would say, close to the end of the second quarter, and we expect an improvement of that. But if I take the first half of 2020 versus the first half of 2019, there was, as you saw, there was a significant decline of around $6.6 million in our revenues, quarter over quarter, and amounted to $1.7 million loss of operating profit, which we managed to compensate, you know, with other projects that we have. But still, you know, for us year over year, we expect it to be at a better place. Okay. I can tell you that once there is a turnaround of that market, we are, you know, ready to monetize on that as well.
Okay, that's very helpful. And perhaps the last one for me. You know, COVID has put a lot of restriction on traveling, and this is a place where you save money. And you know, you talked about your digital capacity to kind of promote to clients and so on. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, looking beyond COVID and the current environment, are there any cost savings that you guys can maintain that would kind of help your margins structurally?
Yes, this is definitely what we intend to do. There is always a question of, you know, people who like to travel. They will always try to travel, but definitely we will be more strict on this one.
I can tell you that another thing that works for our benefit is that until today there was always a pressure on salaries. We have lots of people, you know, on the professional service side of the business. And at the moment, based on the, let's say, economic environment, so there is no much pressure, you know, now as it was in the past to increase salaries. So this is something that should work on one side or in our favor. On the other hand, you still have clients, you know, pushing on the, you know, on discount or on rates. So I think that overall this kind of supposed to support our growth and not, you know, and not reduce it.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Kevin Didi of HCW. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. Congrats on the great expense management. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit to your S&G costs, Asaf, please.
So basically we managed to save, on the SG&A, we saved something around $1.2 million compared if you look versus the first quarter. A significant part of that savings relates to, you know, to kind of the current situation, not something that necessarily would last for the months to come. I would assume that we can keep approximately 50% or 40% of that cost cutting also for the future. But we had people on unpaid leave. We have some salary reduction. We had travel constraints. All of that, you know, are not necessarily going to continue as we progress on the year, but around 40% of that, I believe that we will manage to maintain. I think that over the years, if you look back, you can see that Magic always, at least Magic Assets Management, always knew how to adjust our cost level versus the level of our operations. And this is something that was done for many years as I'm with the company.
Can you talk to your headcount at the end of the June quarter and what your expectations might be given prevailing circumstances?
Headcount didn't change much. We're at around 2,600 employees. I can tell you that today we have something around 150 open positions that we are trying to fill up. something, let's say, that 70% of that is in the U.S., 30% are in Israel. So, you know, with that, you know, we feel pretty confident, you know, with our ability to continue the momentum that we are in for the first half.
Well, the vast majority is billable people we're looking for.
Okay. Listen, the overarching trend appears to be that professional services are becoming a greater and greater share of revenue, and I was wondering if you could kind of talk to why you think that's happening. Is the software development side of your business just less attractive to customers, or just finding, you know, greater demand on outsource people at your clients? Maybe just some insight on that overarching trend, please.
Okay, so I'll divide it into this, your question into two. One part is that every now and then we have renewal of or a new sale of a software piece, and apparently this last quarter it was less than the comparable quarter, and therefore you see some decline in the software. But it will probably change next quarter and the one after it. Other than that, when we look at the acquisition pipe, then definitely we see more service-oriented companies than software-oriented companies. And, you know, as a result, we did the last transaction. It is a service-based company, and therefore it affects the ratios between services and software.
Okay, thanks, Guy. Can you extend that and talk to what you see going forward in M&A? I mean, you guys have a ton of cash still. I know you've been very, very careful about picking and choosing, and I know all your investors appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you're thinking about becoming more aggressive because, I mean, other companies are clearly not going to be in the same financial strength that you are, and they might be willing to negotiate more closely. Can you speak to that a little?
We definitely look for such companies. For now, we don't see yet a decline in prices, multiples, and all companies are still looking for rather high multiples. Look at the capital market, you know, companies are raising money like if it was papers. So we don't see a pressure on companies that want to be sold to sell their operation. Still, we have quite a nice pipe. We progress with what we have. And the fact that we've been conservative is helping for the business, meaning we do quite safe acquisitions. I don't see even one acquisition that I can, you know, treat it as a, you know, bad influence on the business.
Okay. Do you foresee maybe getting deals done over the remainder of this year or early next?
Definitely.
While before the COVID thing sort of gets resolved?
We do have two companies in the pipe, quite advanced situation. Hopefully it will be closed.
Okay. Can you speak a little bit to the R&D activities? I noticed costs there were down, and I'm kind of wondering, number one, what are your clients asking for, and what is your R&D development focus?
R&D developers is focusing, and kind of taking the wave of the low-code backwind that we have, so going more and more kind of smart editor, WYSIWYG, ease of development, all around that, and a lot of cloud-enabled, I mean, cloud with us for the last 10 years or more, but really becoming more and more cloud-native for their tools and environment of application.
Okay. Any insight on the cost side of that? It just seems
I'll tell you, the headcount didn't change. It even grew. So most of the cost cutting happened because we shifted between 2019 and 2020 some of our R&D efforts from Israel to India. So that takes off the cost on one end. And on the other end, we also during the Corona time had some people that that were on utilizing their vacation days or were on some kind of a unpaid vacation. So this is something that contributes to the deduction of the cost. Just for the second.
Yeah, so you kind of expect things to bounce back to more historical norms in the third quarter?
Yeah, something around the $3 million.
Okay. All right, I'll cede the floor. Thank you for entertaining my questions, gentlemen. Nice job.
Thank you.
The next question is from Asaf Barel of Oppenheimer. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Congrats on a really nice quarter. Great execution. On the professional services side of the business, any specific verticals you guys want to highlight as kind of having offset the telco decline? And then number two, any further comment you guys would want to give on the dividend? Thanks.
In terms of the sector that we managed to compensate with, it's basically the finance sector where we are very strong in, the healthcare. We had some improvement on the cybersecurity. Companies are utilizing our people. We have around 40, 50 people that are working around the cybersecurity, and we found, you know, companies are trying to secure better their technological infrastructure. That was the main, sectors that we managed to compensate with. On the dividend side, I think that there's not much to say. This is we are pretty much keeping with our dividend policy. We took the second half where we distributed only 50% of our distributable profits. Just because, you know, back at during April, May, you know, there was more unclear, sites. And now we feel that we are back on track. We have $91 million, $92 million on our cash. The company is generating $15 million per quarter from operating cash flow. Leverage is low.
Yeah, okay. That's helpful. Just on a go-forward basis, we know that the mix is favoring professional services increasingly, and we really see it clearly in the gross margin. Where do you guys see the gross margin on a normalized basis? Is it closer to the 30.5-ish, 31-ish, or is it closer to 32? I know it depends on where growth goes, depending on the segment, but just any commentary there.
It's closer to the 32.
Okay, yeah, thanks. That's all for my end.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Maggie Nolan of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hey, this is Ted on from Maggie. So I think in the press release, and you mentioned it stop in your prepared remarks, you said you're gaining traction with some new and existing clients. Can you add some color around the new logo additions during the quarter? And then in also in your prepared remarks, you talked about prospects taking longer to kind of ramp up. Can you talk about kind of the pace of project ramp-ups in the second quarter and in July and August? Thank you.
I don't think that, you know, mentioning new logos, and I'll tell you why, something that, you know, we feel that will give you any more color about the business. As first of all, 80% of the business is pretty much relying on our existing community on one hand, and on the other hand, we don't have, if I look at the, fifth largest account that we have in the group, it doesn't account for more than 2% of our revenues. So every, I can tell you that we are winning, something around 80 to 100 new clients every quarter. And something that build up the pipe. This is something that can go to 100K or 200K or 500K, depends on the, depends on the deal. So this quarter we had Santa Clara, for example, that acquired our a low-code development platform with a deal of around $200,000, a three-year contract to develop, low-code business application. And there are numerous, numerous examples like that. In terms of the improvement on the professional services side, then I think that we are just, being on the or riding on the wave of the good sectors that that we are in. As we said, people are trying to be more digitalized, and they need to, make sure that they are connected and allowing their customers to be connected more than they used to because of the COVID-19 or encouraged by the COVID-19. And we are riding those waves on the financial sector. We are riding those waves on the healthcare sector with CVS or with the two largest healthcare providers here in Israel. Defense sector is also pushing hard and was even, I can tell you, in the Israeli market was one of the sectors that helped prevail the COVID-19 disruption here in the Israeli market, so we can pretty much benefited from that. Any other question?
The next question is from Maggie Nolan of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hey, stop. I dropped out there for a second. Could you clarify some of the numbers you mentioned earlier in the call? So you said excluding telecom, you grew 24% year over year and 17% excluding net effects and 8% organic. Did I hear that right?
Yes. I say that 17% was due to the acquisition of NetFX because we didn't consolidate NetFX result during the first half of 2019, and in 2020 we consolidated them during the full period. So 17% of the growth came from that, and 7% came from the organic activity if I exclude the decline in the telecom sector.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And then looking towards the back half of the year, is there any seasonality that we should consider this year, and how would that compare to 2019?
We do expect the second half to be much better than the first half, basically due to the COVID impact over the first half. If something doesn't change dramatically, and basically when you look at our performance over the years, the second half was always better than the first half of every year.
Okay, and then just related, I guess, to the holiday season this year between Q3 and Q4, any comments there?
No, not something special. We had the Jewish holiday season during April. Q3 is kind of a full, basically a full quarter that we have on September, the New Year holiday season here in Israel. But last year it happened on the fourth quarter, so there would be a shift between that. But this is something, you know, that happens every other year.
Okay, thank you. And then last question for me, can you talk about the health of the CVS relationship and where you stand with that? Thank you.
Basically, I can tell you that, you know, business are good. We are improving our operation with CVS. We have more consultants working on the job for them. We are growing the business versus 2019. We are happy for the business that we are getting from CVS, and you know, we are happy to support their growth and expansion as well.
All right, very good. Thanks, guys.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Bernstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
So thank you very much, everyone, for joining our call today, and we definitely hope to bring you some good news in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the Magic Software Enterprises Ltd. Second Quarter 2020 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.